Amen. Let's say that again together. Pentecost, made for a mission. Hallelujah. This time, high five your neighbor and say it. Pentecost, made for a mission. Amen. Saints, Pentecost is the birthday of the church. And the word Pentecost, it designates the 50th day after Passover. Amen. And it was on this day in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit was poured out on 120 of the followers of Jesus Christ who were gathered in that upper room in the city of Jerusalem. And it was on this day, saints, that the church was born, hallelujah, in a blaze of glory. Praise your name. But before we begin, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Oh, we praise you today, Lord. We say thank you. And we celebrate you today, Holy Spirit. And as we actively listen to the preaching of your word, we pray that the same mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. That you would nourish we, your people, in the faith. That you would fill our speech with truth and our lives with purity. You would increase our faith in you, and you would strengthen us this day and prosper our words and our works for you, that your name may be mightily glorified and your truth exalted, and many come to find you as Lord and Savior. And we pray this prayer through Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord and Savior, and all God's saints join together to say, amen, amen. Praise God, saints. If you would look there, and in your notes, let's together read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Amen. Amen. Now, saints, the disciples were expecting a power to rule. Everybody say to rule. To rule. But what they received was a power to witness. Everybody say to witness. To witness. Amen. It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then Jesus gave the missionary mandate for every disciple then and every disciple since. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power. And you will be my what? My witnesses in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem stands for family. How many here have some family members who aren't saved yet? They don't know the Lord. Okay, that's Jerusalem, all right? And then he goes on to say, and in Judea. Now, Judea represents friends. How many here have some friends today? I hope everybody got some friends. Amen. All right, we got some friends. Now, there's some friends don't know the Lord yet, right? Amen. That's Judea. And then he says, in Samaria, and that represents all those folks out there. Some we like and some we don't like. Amen. Some we are working with, some we run into at the gas station, some we see on the news after they have robbed the bank or something. All those folks, amen, that represents Samaria. Praise God. All right. Now, when the Holy Spirit, saints, fills our hearts with God's presence and God's power, then the Holy Spirit generates this passion in us. The Holy Spirit fills our hearts, and then all of a sudden, we want to rise up, and we want to share Jesus without fear. We want to go out there and let the world know that Jesus saves. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Spirit gets in our heart, it generates this power within us that we want to walk right. We want to talk right. We want to act right. We want to react right. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit generating that in our hearts. Hallelujah. So today, just say, Holy Spirit. Fall fresh on me. Fall fresh on me. Hallelujah. Saints, we've got to be hungry for that Holy Spirit's fire in our lives. Would you touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for that power today? Amen. Are you hungry? Are you hungry to be filled with the Spirit from head to toe? Hallelujah. You see, there are people who need the Lord. People in our families, our friends, And people out there we haven't even met yet, amen. Some of them we just saw in the news or read about. They need the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's so much confusion. There is so much mess out there, saints. So many things to detract people and lead them down the wrong path. Lead them to eventually to be eternally lost. Now, just for an example, I'm just going to use one. There's many, many things out there to trip people and to cause them to miss eternal life with the Lord. Now, how many have seen in the papers or on the radio, Oprah Winfrey has a new thing going on, a new religion. Okay. I began to hear about it. I said, well, I'm going to just look into it for myself. And I did my own research. And beginning January 1st, 2008, Oprah and friends offered a year-long course on the New Age teaching of A Course in Miracles. A lesson a day throughout the whole year will completely cover 365 lessons from the Course in Miracles workbook. Now, for example, lesson 29 asks you to go through your day affirming that God is in everything I see, everything you see. Lesson 61 tells each person to repeat the affirmation, I am the light of the world. Lesson 70 teaches the student to say and believe, my salvation comes from me. And by the end of the year, Oprah and friends and listeners will have completed all of the lessons laid out in the course in the Miracles workbook. Now, those who finish the course will have a wholly redefined spiritual mindset, a new age worldview that includes the belief that there is no sin, there is no evil, there is no devil, and that God is in everyone and everything. A Course in Miracles teaches its students to rethink everything they have believed about God and life. And the course workbook bluntly states, this is a course in mind training. Now, here's just a few excerpts that I've taken out in this course. One line says, there is no sin. There's another one says, a slain Christ has no meaning. Another one says, journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. Another one says, do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. Another one says, the name of Jesus is just but a symbol. Another one says, God is in everything I see. Another one, the recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. And it goes on. There are more. If anybody, I've downloaded a lot of stuff. But it is heresy. And this new spirituality, saints, is trying to conquer with a message of love, you know, promising joy and fellowship and asking for not much of change, you know, just a little compromising. This new spirituality says, be joined unto me and you will fit in. Whereas the Holy Spirit, everybody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws with the hard promise, be joined unto Jesus Christ and you will stand out. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit draws. Be joined with Christ and you're going to stand out. Now, Oprah is not the only one who is confused out there. Oprah is not the only one. Now, I did, was really concerned about this because from what I see, there's over 700,000 people who attentively have her ear on this new spirituality. They're going through this with her, over 700,000. So we need to pray for Oprah and for all those who are confused. She's not the only one, but she is confused. Amen. So friends, in this day and in this hour, we all need to make a decision as to whose report we're going to believe. Whose report are we going to believe? Are we going to believe Jesus, and are we going to believe the report of the Lord in the Word of God? Are we going to believe the report of humanity? Amen. We are living in perilous times, and we need to decide whose report we're going to believe. Now, saints, our theme for this year is what? Made for a mission. Made for a mission. Jesus has called us. Jesus has commissioned us to be faithful, to rise up, and to speak out. Amen. To share Jesus without fear. The Church of Jesus Christ, we're not called to sit still. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't sit still. Don't sit still. We're called to move out and to reach out. Hallelujah. For Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it's like Jeremiah, when Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 29. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more of his name, there is in my heart as if it were a burning fire shut up in the bones. and I'm weary with holding it in, and I can't leave it alone. Hallelujah! Fire! Shut up in my bone! Like Jeremiah, I can't leave it alone. Amen. Amen, saints. Now, the power we need to grow our church is not the power of any program, saints, but the power we need is the power of Pentecost. High five your neighbor and say, we need the power of Pentecost. We need the power of Pentecost. The power to witness, the power to share Jesus without fear. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to pray, Lord, send us your fire, Holy Spirit. And we've got to choose today whether we're hungry for the filling of the Holy Spirit, for the presence. Are we hungry for the Lord to send fire on us? Hallelujah. Now, you know what? We must choose if we're going to live and move, amen, in the Spirit, and not just be sometimey. Now, have you heard people say, well, she just sometimey or he just sometimey? What they mean is they your friend sometime, and sometime they ain't your friend. You think they got your back, but then before you know it, they done stuck a knife in it. You know, they're sometimey, okay? All right, now with the filling of the Spirit, we need to be more than sometimey. We need the filling of the Spirit all the time. All the time we need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now let's just quickly look at our Old Testament text. We're going to just look at one in Scripture who he had trouble with sometimeyness, amen? And it's Samson, and it says he went down to Timnah together with his parents. And verse 6 says, the Spirit of the Lord came on him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he neither told his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down, and he talked with the woman, and he liked her. All right, saints, Samson was moved at times. Everybody say, at times. At times by the Spirit. And it was the times when he was not moved by the Spirit that got him into a lot of trouble. Amen. Amen. Samson's problem was that he was moved by the Spirit at times. He was moved at times. That's the problem. Too many of us are moved at times. We're not being filled with the Spirit constantly and continually. We're sometimey saints. The problem is we're Pentecostal sometimes. All right. We remember Pentecost and the Holy Spirit sometime when it's convenient for us or when it's politically or socially correct. We're sometimey, part-timey Pentecostals. All right. All right. Now, we are caffeinated sometimes. All right. How many drink caffeinated coffee, caffeinated tea, caffeinated soda? All right. Are you just light? All right. Some good cup of coffee. All right. All right. Well, I try my best to drink decaffeinated coffee and pop and tea because I don't need a whole lot extra. All right. I'm already a little too hyper. And so I don't really, you know, it's not good for me actually to have too much caffeine. I remember going to a committee on ministry meeting one evening, and the meeting was going on. They had made these coffees. They had some cookies over there. So I went over and I just said, well, it looks like regular. There was no decaf. So I said, but I want some. So I drank it. Oh, it was so good. So good. So then during the meeting, I kept looking over there at pot of coffee, and I went back over and I got one more. Oh my goodness. Oh, and I said, oh, just one for the road before this meet is over. I'm going to get one more. Oh, it was so good. And then I went home, and then we went to bed. And then around 5 o'clock, my eyes are still like this. I have counted every crack in the ceiling, and I've seen everything to be. I've read, I've prayed, and I'm still like this. 6 o'clock, I'm still like this. I said, no more caffeinated coffee for me. I just can't handle it, okay? You know, but saints, the problem, too many of us have a caffeine-free relationship with God. There's no zip. There's no excitement. There's no fervor. We're dead. We look like, ugh, that's what a Christian looks like. I don't want to be. We're caffeine-free. All right, now you know what caffeine-free will do for you. Caffeine-free won't stir you up. Mm-mm. And it won't keep you up. No, that's why I drink it, so I can just go to sleep. And it won't take you up. And some of us have a caffeine-free relationship with God. There's no zip. There's no pizzazz. There's no power in our lives. Right. So, saints, what we need is a personal Pentecost. High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, what we need is a personal Pentecost. We need a personal Pentecost. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now everybody shout, Pentecostal fire. Pentecostal fire. Hallelujah. Saints, Pentecostal fire will cause those who are sleeping to wake up. Anybody sleeping right now? When you get some Pentecostal fire, it'll cause you to wake up. Amen. Hallelujah. Pentecostal fire will cause lukewarm folks, woo, to fire up. Amen. They might have a slow personality, but once they get hit with that spirit, woo, they fired up. Hallelujah. Anybody know anybody grumpy and you work with them or live grumpy? All right, well, that Pentecostal fire will sweeten them up. Hallelujah. That's what Pentecostal fire will do. Pentecostal fire will take discouraged folks and will build them up. Amen. Pentecostal fire will take depressed folks and just cheer us up. Hallelujah. Pentecostal fire will just take a gossiper and we'll just shut them right on up. Hallelujah. That's what Pentecostal fire will do. Pentecostal fire will take dry bones, woo, and start shaking them up. Amen. Pentecostal fire will take a soldier and stand him up. Amen. That's what Pentecostal fire can do for us. Amen. Amen. But saints, the problem with part-time Pentecostals, let's talk about that. If we observe the life of Samson, we see the peril of living a less than committed life, a less than committed lifestyle. We cannot afford to be moved by the Spirit only at times. We cannot be sometimey in the move of the Spirit in our lives. Now, when you don't live in the Spirit full time, that means every day to 24/7, you're going to run the risk of following Samson's path. Now, Samson is an example of a part-timey Pentecostal. All right, now, part-time Pentecostals live a rebellious lifestyle. Everybody say rebellious. Rebellious lifestyle. Samson's main weakness was he was a playboy. All right, saints, in three different chapters, he has three different women. That's what I call a playboy anyways. He keeps running in and out of relationships. In Judges 14:1, it says, Samson went down to Timnah, and there was a young Philistine woman. And when he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for my wife. Now the King James Version said, she pleases me. All right, that's the KJV. And then the today's New International Version, he says, she looks good to me. All right, that's what he said. All right, so saints, here is the first trap of being Pentecostal sometimes, being sometimey. And that is, you make decisions based on pleasure rather than principle. It's pleasure rather than principle. So when we start to live our lives out through convenience rather than conviction, we are headed for trouble. 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 Now, to Samson, God said, don't do it. Samson's parents warned him. Samson himself had made a vow not to marry an unbeliever. But he ignores his plans and he follows his glands and he falls into sin. Now, saints, the Holy Spirit's power will help us to discipline ourselves. Everybody say, discipline ourselves. Discipline, discipline ourselves. That's what the Holy Spirit's power will do for us. 1 Peter 4:1-2 says, strengthen yourselves with Christ's way of thinking. Live your lives controlled by God's will, not by human desires. So saints, if Samson is our prototype, then part-time Pentecostals are also resentful. Everybody say resentful. 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 How many know people will let you down? People will hurt your feelings. People will turn their back. People will disappoint you. People will break promises. So, yes, it is easy to get resentful. But when we look at Samson's life, he lived in a constant state of anger. He reacted violently to everything. His primary motivation in life was to get even. One time he killed 30 men just to get even on a bet. Judges 15:3-11. Samson said to them, this time I have a right to get even with the Philistines, and I will really harm them. Verse 7, since you acted like this, I won't stop till I get revenge on you. And verse 11, I merely did to them what they did to me. You ever hear anybody say that? I just did to them what they did to me. Three times in one chapter, he says, I'm going to get even. And his excuse is, they hurt me first. And so he reacts, and I'm going to do the same back to them. Everybody listen. Resentment is self-defeating. Resentment is self-defeating. You can't hold on to your grudges and your hatred and your anger and then follow the will of God at the same time. They don't go together. They don't go together. You can't do them both at the same time. Job 5:2 says, to worry yourself to death with resentments would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his or her anger, but a wise one keeps him or herself under control. People full of the Holy Spirit, we are able to control our reactions. So we need to wake up in the morning and say, feel me, Holy Spirit. Put that armor on from head to toe, feel me, so that when I turn to the left, when I turn to the right, that I'm going to say and do what you would have me to do, Holy Spirit. Praise your name. Now, lastly, saints, part-time Pentecostals are reckless. Everybody say reckless. Reckless. Reckless with many areas of life, money, words, commitments, affections. Now, Samson's continually compromised his commitment for convenience. He toyed with temptation. He was reckless once too often, and the Philistines and Delilah cut off his hair, which was the source of his strength. Now, saints, people do not fall off the cliff of character overnight. You know what? We do it in tiny steps. We just don't do it overnight. Okay, one day we make a decision, you know, one day we just, oh, that don't matter. Oh, who cares? They're not looking. I'll take that. We just keep on. It's tiny steps. We start off, we start off on fire in the Spirit, but then we start taking those tiny steps away from the Spirit, and we begin to cool off. And as we get cold, we trade away our commitments, amen. We trade away God's power. We trade away God's anointing on our life. And before you know it, it's all right with us if purity is only practiced, you know, part-time. You know, if I'm in the mood tonight, you know, or whatever, you know, part-time. Samson was rebellious, he was resentful, and he was reckless. Judges 16 says, having put him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He woke up from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Saying some folks, we're satisfied with our current spiritual condition. You know, we have no desire to grow in the Lord, no desire to get closer to God, no desire for a fuller anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask each of us this question today. Are you filled today with the Holy Spirit? Are you currently satisfied with the level of your anointing in the Spirit today? And I want to know, do you believe there's more for you today? Anybody believe there's more for you? Yes! Yes! Yes, there's more. There's more for you. There's more for me. I know God's got even more for all of us. So why not each of us move to our own personal Pentecost? You see, in Acts 2, 1 through 11, Pentecost can be summed up in one word, and that word is change. Everybody say change. We can all change for the better, amen? The Holy Spirit can do that transforming work. Jesus on the inside. Oh, what a change. Amen. God is interested in changing us, changing you and changing me. And today is Pentecost Sunday. And so today I would ask that you would join with me and say, it's Pentecost. And I'm going for more. I'm going for more. I'm going for more. I'm going for more. Make it so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, make it so. Saints, even as we partake of Christ's body in the Lord's Supper, in this holy sacrament, as we partake, the Holy Spirit is changing us as we partake. The Spirit is strengthening our faith. The Spirit is filling us with joy and increasing our love for Jesus Christ, increasing our love for one another. How many know our love for one another needs to increase? Praise your name. The Holy Spirit is doing that while we listen to the preaching of the Word. The Holy Spirit is doing that while we read the Holy Word of God. I want to ask you today, do you want to be more confident? Do you want to have more Holy Ghost power in your life today? Do you want to be at more peace with God and with yourself? Do you want to be less confused in your walk with the Lord? Do you want to better understand the Word of God and how to apply it to your life? Do you want to be able to live the way that God has asked you to live in the Word of God? Do you want your soul to change for the better? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does, praise God. The Holy Spirit did it on that first day of Pentecost and continues to do it. You know, we have on red today, and it's beautiful looking at that sea of red. And what this red represents, and first represents the blood of Jesus Christ, that Jesus suffered and died for us, and that he rose up for us. That's what this is, represents his blood, amen. And also this represents the tongues of fire that came upon their heads, as Acts chapter 2 says. And this red also reminds us of the invisible fire that is inside of each of us, that the Holy Spirit has given to us. So every time we come into a Holy Communion and preaching and teaching of the Word, fire enters within us and starts burning off all that needs to be burnt away. So how many know that we all need some changing? We need the Holy Spirit to go in there and keep burning away things that are not of God, things that don't please God. Hallelujah. We need that power today. You know, the book of Acts records two great Pentecostal experiences in the early church. First, to the Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And then later to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius. But often throughout the church, there have been personal Pentecosts over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, a personal Pentecost is available today. It's available today. We need God's power to go out there and to be the people of God. There is a lot of mess. There are people out there who need the Lord. And we need God's power to go out to do the work God has called us to do. Amen. We need to ask for that Pentecostal anointing, that God would fill us to the point that when we're in difficult situations, we would never say, well, if you say that to me one more time, I'm going to just put my religion on kickstand. I'm going to come over there and do something to you. That's gone. That's God. Now, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that is not you anymore. Hallelujah. You may used to have been good doing all this, but once the Holy Spirit comes in, that's gone. That's God. That's gone. Praise your name. So we need to pray today. Fill us. Fill us anew. Oh, Lord, I ask for a Pentecostal renewal today. I ask you would send fire down upon me today. Oh, praise your name. Now, saints, Pentecostal anointing comes only for those who have repented. Those who have said, I've sinned and I've fallen short of God's glory. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. That's whom the Holy Spirit will fill. The Holy Spirit is not going to come in and just fill a dirty vessel. We've got to repent of our sins. Now, speaking of Samson, chapter 16 of Judges goes on to say, he prayed and he prayed, and he knew he had did wrong, but he kept praying and praying. And you know, the Lord is so awesome that the Lord blinded their eyes. They didn't even notice his hair was just growing by leaves. They didn't notice it. You know why? Because the Lord didn't let them notice. He had prayed and prayed. He said, Lord, use me one more time. Let your spirit just take me, Lord. Use me for your glory. Use me to be a blessing to your people. He went right in there. They had no idea what he was going to do. He asked somebody, just lean me up against one of those pillars. And the Spirit of the Lord was strong upon him. God gives us second chances. God is the God of second chances. Hallelujah. We may have messed up. We may have made some big mistakes. Hallelujah. But God is the God of second chances. And God gave Samson a second chance too. Hallelujah. So today, my friend, I ask that you would just empty yourself today and pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill me. Anoint me, Holy Spirit, from head to toe. And then be ready to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit today. Now, the Pentecostal anointing, it comes as an answer to fervent prayer, Scripture says. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, the Greek word is translated ask, and keep on asking, amen. Keep on asking. Lord, I'm asking for a greater anointing of your Holy Spirit on my life. And I'm going to keep on asking, Lord. I'm going to keep on asking. Now, saints, this empowerment, it enables us to fulfill God's will for our lives. So would you say it with me? Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. We are indeed empowered for a purpose. And the purpose is clear. You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and our families, in Judea, our friends, and in Samaria, in the uttermost parts of this earth, all those that we meet. Amen. Now, the purpose is not to make us feel good. The purpose is not to get us on some spiritual high. Hallelujah. But the purpose is to make us effective witnesses for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that God would receive the glory in and through our lives. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men and women that they will see your what? Your good works. And then they'll do what? Glorify your God who is in heaven. Hallelujah. You see, the story of Acts is one of witness, and it began on Pentecost and it continues today. I want to ask you today, do you want God to fill you with a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit? Do you want that for your life today? Do you want to rise up more than you've ever risen before to share Jesus without fear? Do you want a deeper anointing in your life today? God has specific tasks for each of us. God has a task for all of us together. Are you committed to the work of the Lord that God has set before us? If you are, you can be refilled today. You can receive a Pentecostal anointing today. You can have a personal Pentecost today. Now I'm going to ask if you would conclude this message with me. I'm going to ask that we pray to the Lord, anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fall on me. Now, you may get on your knees. You can come to the altar and you can just ask Holy Spirit. You can stand where you are, lift your hands up. You can sit and just keep your hands up. But ask the Lord for a deeper anointing. Now, some of us are going to start speaking in tongues. The Lord will give us the utterance of tongues. Some of us will just have a quiet presence come over us. Some of us will start shouting and some of us will cry. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, you will feel something. There will be a change if you pray this fervently to the Lord. And you will experience your own personal Pentecost. And together we'll experience revival and God working in us and through us. Hallelujah. Wherever the Lord leads you, I'm going to ask that you pray to the Lord right now for a personal Pentecost by singing with us, anointing. Just focus everyone out except the Lord Jesus. Just look to the Holy Spirit. Just ask the Holy Spirit, oh, please give me a greater anointing so that you can use me even greater than you've ever done before. And I'm excited about it, Lord. I'm excited. Together, let's pray to the Lord. Wherever the Lord would have you to do or to stand or to be. Here we go, saints.
Anointing, follow me. Anointing, follow me. Let the power of the Holy Spirit follow me.